Good morning, witches. This is the Witch Daily Show, coming to you from New Orleans, with host Tanya Brown. Our episodes span about 20 minutes long to give you just a little pop of magic. So, tune in, take a deep breath, and enjoy.
Good morning. It is June 9th, 2022. It is Thursday. I am Tanya, and this is the Witch Daily Show. Today's episode is brought to you by the book The Glam Witch. So let's get your day going with a little magic. Our quote of the day is, "Never be bullied into silence. Never allow yourself to be made a victim. Accept no one's definition of your life. Define yourself." By a Harvey Fierstein. So what are we drinking today? We are drinking Yuletide. I know it's weird for summer, but it's good. And people are getting sick. And trust me, when you feel like crap, let me tell you what always happens to me. I feel like I have crafted so many sick teas in my life. Like, especially when I'm sick, I'd be like, oh, I can add this and this and this and this and this and this and this. And I create this like great personal blend of sick tea. And then guess what happens when I'm actually sick? I can't remember any of it. Can never remember any of it because you're sick and your brain is tired and your body is tired. And I love just having a go-to sick tea. And this is it, Yuletide. Like, part of me is like, should we just change the name and call it sick tea? But no, it's Yuletide because it is like also great for winter. But it is rose hips, apple pieces, cherries, wah wah, cranberry, hibiscus, ginger, cinnamon, and orange. I remember the first year we sent it out, me and my friend, we were packing it up and we found the most honkering, like biggest dried cherry of my life. And we were like, should we eat it? Like, we didn't know what to do. And then we're like, it's huge. Like, because we send out tea by ounce, right? So we did like 2 ounces and we're like, it's a big cherry. It probably weighs a lot. I feel like if we put this big cherry into the tea, it's going to like affect the ounceage. So what we did is we wanted someone to get the massive cherry, so we ended up just putting extra tea in the bag to like make up for how big the cherry was ounceage-wise. Anyways, it was big. I loved it. So today we are talking about hibiscus. Should have talked about cherries. I went through a tangent, my bad. But hibiscus, so this comes to us from hazelplanchette.tumblr.com. Hibiscus, ooh. So I actually love hibiscus. Where I grew up, we had hibiscus plants like around the house. So it has like really nice memories for me. This person writes, "Most of the plants I've written about so far grow wild in the southeastern United States. I'm switching gears today to talk about a flower you might find at a garden center, the lovely hibiscus. The previous owners of my house planted a bunch of hibiscus bushes in my backyard and 3 scarlet rose mallows in my front yard. They're all currently in bloom. If you can't harvest your own hibiscus, hibiscus tea is inexpensive and easy to find. Hibiscus flower has a sour flavor and are used in many different world cuisines as well as Chinese medicine. The leaves of many hibiscus plants are also edible. When harvesting hibiscus, make sure a specific genus is edible before consuming it. Rule of thumb for like any consuming of plants and herbs. Hibiscus flowers are generally safe, although they shouldn't be consumed by pregnant or nursing women as they can cause uterine contractions. Hibiscus infusions have a mild laxative, diuretic, antibacterial, anti-inflammatory, worm-killing effects. Moreover, hibiscus has been shown in clinical studies to lower blood pressure with habitual use. Please note that high doses of hibiscus can be dangerous to small animals. Also remember, not everything is safe for humans that is safe for pets. So don't give it to your pets. In witchcraft, hibiscus is associated with the sun and Venus and is used to promote love, lust, divination, psychic dreams, and tranquility. Red hibiscus flowers make an excellent addition to love spells or potions. Hibiscus flowers of any color can be steeped in water to empower scrying. In my research, I have also seen hibiscus mentioned as a good plant for protection and luck, but these associations are less common than the others. All right, moving into some headlines. This comes to us from CBS42.com. Well, it comes from New Orleans, WGNO, which is like the New Orleans news. So let's see. Oh, this looks exciting. Oh my gosh. Sorry for the coughing. Allergies are bad. The fact I didn't cough the last two episodes, you got to give me credit. Before I even get into this, let me explain what happened to me last weekend. I got a cutter and I went ham on my yard and I cut down a bunch of plants that were just growing really crazily. And one of them had like all this dust on it. And I pulled the plant out, all this dust flew into the air and I breathed it in. So I've just been like a little coughy ever since. So please bear with me. I'm trying really hard not to cough, but I breathed in plant dust and it's gross. Okay, so let's see. Sorry, back to the headlines. The History of New Orleans Vampire Association, written by Christopher Leach. New Orleans is a paragon of diversity. A few subcultures exist below the radar. One close-knit community has ties thicker than blood. There are close to 100 known people in New Orleans who practice drinking human blood. Balthazar Ashantison, the founder of the New Orleans Vampire Association, and defines vampirism as a psychological condition where the person who has it is lacking the ability to create specific energies needed to get through daily events like getting up out of bed, getting dressed, and going to work. Balthazar's friends call him Czar for short. According to Nova's website, there are different types of vampires. Some drink blood, some are sexual vampires that feed off of sexual energy, and others are harder to describe. However, Balthazar says vampires are all around us and congregate in specific spots in the city, such as Fritzl's Bar off of Bourbon Street. I've been there a lot. However, in order to party with them in most cases, a secret password is required. Okay, there's two passwords. I won't get into it. I'm not going to get into this, but it's a good time. If you're in the city, let me know. I'll tell you where to go and I'll tell you what the password is. I am what's called a Sangian, a vampire, a blood drinker. I do have donors. I don't chase people down, says Balthazar. He drinks blood on average 2 or 4 times a week. He'll consume anywhere to 2 or 6 ounces each feeding and says, quote, I usually make a cut on the backside of the shoulder and make sure they go home with enough bandages and Neosporin. Anything could happen. In a city prominent with sexually transmitted diseases, there's a lot that can happen. And just like those vampires, the danger of infection is real. Every 3 months, my donor and I get tested. We all get tested together so we can keep each other abreast of situations. Vampire stories have existed in New Orleans for as long as the city's 300 years, including the infamous story of the Ursuline Convent. As it is, the stories are here to stay and make up one of the many distinctive and unusual ways in which our city is like no other. They live among us, says Czar. We are all around you. I know some that teach. I know some that are in churches. I know some that are in restaurants and some that work in bars. In case you are wondering how Nova formed, it was created in 2007 to help feed homeless after Hurricane Katrina. You can find them at Easter, Thanksgiving, and Christmas in Jackson Square passing out food. So super cool. Vampire culture is like really fascinating to me. I've always been really into it. I just think it's interesting. Like, I am someone who gets really psyched about learning about different cultures. Like, I'm really lucky. I was raised to be very curious and I was raised to be very excited about other cultures. I think I shared on the podcast recently, I was in Indiana and I went to an Amish town. I'm talking the town was Amish. Like most of the people there were Amish. And if you weren't Amish, like they looked at you funny. You know what I mean? I've never been so excited in my life. Like I could not get enough of all of it. I was like calling my mom every day to be like, you won't believe what I learned today. Like, and she loved it. Like, we both, me and my mom, are just like, we love different cultures. We love learning about different cultures, and we get very, very excited about different cultures. So I think it was like early 2000s, vampire culture kind of became known in mainstream. Tyra Banks did an episode on vampires. I think you can find it on YouTube. Also, if you have Netflix, there's a series called Dark Tourism or Dark Tourist. And there's an episode on New Orleans vampires, which I have a, I think I know who this guy is. And I think he's on the show. I recognize a lot of what he's saying. You can watch that if you're curious. But I've always found vampire culture very curious and fascinating. So super cool. I love it. All right, I'm going to throw this over to our moon correspondent. And then after this break, we'll talk more.
Hello to all of my astro friends. This is Serendipity, the Chicago astrologer, coming at you with your daily moon mantra for Thursday, June 9th. The waxing gibbous moon does a delicate ballet in Libra today. Here, the moon trines the sun and opposes Mars. We've gained a sense of self-confidence that might be goading us into an ill-advised venture. It's possible that we've just built up a big old head of steam and there's just no place to put the impetus. So we might be going into action just to say that we've done something, anything. The confidence is a boon, no doubt about that, but we need to be more circumspect before we go into action. Use the Libra moon to consider both sides of the equation before you jump in. Just because you want to doesn't mean you have to. Your daily moon mantra is, it's easier to live with mistakes than regrets. This has been your Daily Moon Mantra with Serendipity, the Chicago astrologer, signing off and reminding you that you are in charge of your own destiny.
Lilith has been feared, worshipped, analyzed, and dissected by many. Yet she remains an enigma cloaked in a riddle of witchcraft. Today, she has found a place of elevation as a quintessential goddess in an array of occult practices. The Glam Witch plants the practice of modern witchcraft in Lilith's Garden of Glittery Fruit. Laid out over a sparkling assemblage of chapters, a modern mystic will explore the theory, practice, and lifestyle of the great Lilithian arcane mysteries, aka Glam. Loaded with spells and rituals to cultivate confidence, sizzle with sensuality, and stand up to adversity, the Glam Witch is a guide to spiritual empowerment and establishing unapologetic authenticity through magical means. The Glam Witch by Michael Herkes is now available for order at your local bookshop or wherever books are sold.
All right, we have a question from one of our listeners, Chris, Kirsty. Kirsty writes, "Hey witches, I've just listened to today's podcast. This was May 19th, and I've been getting really into pendulum work lately. So I thought I'd share some of my resources with you." Ooh, I have information, by the way. There is a shop on Etsy called Path of the Pendulum, where she's got loads of different dowsing charts on different subjects. Dowse Your Way to Psychic Power was a really interesting podcast with lots of info on different dowsing subjects. He also has a book with the same name. I'm currently reading The Pendulum Dowsing by Cassandra Eason. I have that book. And I also have the book Dowsing for Cures, which is an A to Z of health problems that correspond to questions to ask your pendulum. I'm finding it all very interesting. I've had a pendulum for years and only used it for yes and no answers, but I was recently in a witchy shop with my local village of Burley and came across these books in there, and they set me down a rabbit hole. Happy dowsing. Yeah, thanks for sharing. I love pendulums. I definitely feel like they don't quite get the credit that they deserve. I love it. I love it. I think they're amazing for yes or no, and I think they're superior. I'm going to say it. I think they are superior for yes or no questions. I just found out today, I'm talking the day I'm recording, so June 6th, I just found out. So I traveled recently, and I was with two pregnant people, and I did the pendulum baby test over their bellies. Basically, the idea is you hold a pendulum over a pregnant person's belly, and it'll tell you the sex that the baby is going to be born, right? So a circle is a girl because it represents a womb, and back and forth is a boy because the back and forth represents a penis. And I did it for both of them. I just found out today I was right for both of them. So I love it. I learned that first from my family. My family did it. My found family used to do it. If it was like for them, I think it was like a folky thing. Learned it from them growing up, and it's never been wrong. My aunt says it's never been wrong for her. I've done it quite a few times. It's never been wrong for me. It just works. I was actually having a conversation with our podcast producer recently, and I told her how I used to tie a pendulum to my rear view mirror in my car. And then if I were driving and it started kind of swinging heavily, it would tell me either I needed to relax and I needed to drive slower, or that there might be some chaotic energy coming. So to be careful, be extra vigilant. And I always really liked it. I need to bring that back. I used to keep it there, but my new car doesn't have one. So I was in an accident a few years ago. So I have a new car, which I've just now accepted as my car because I was very emotionally connected to my old one. But I love pendulums for that. So this is really cool. I really love pendulums. I think they're just highly, highly underutilized. One of my big tips for buying them, and I feel bad because normally I'm really big on like support Etsy shops, but like I feel like you need to hold them. So my pendulum is actually a gift from my best friend. He gave me a tiger's eye pendulum in the blossoming of our friendship. It was actually the first gift either one of us gave each other. So it's very sentimental to me, but it's hefty. It has weight. A lot of the mass-produced pendulums that you'll see in shops and stuff, they're very, very, very light. I'm not a fan of those. I want to know my pendulum is moving because it wants to move, not because there's a light breeze, you know? And that's my personal opinion. Not everyone might agree, you know? But I feel like if you can hold a pendulum and there's a solid weight to it, it's a good one. So I'm a big believer in not buying your pendulums online and instead going to a shop where you can feel it and touch it, because I think it matters. All right, so how are we on time? I feel like we've been talking a lot today. Oh yeah, we're running a little behind. So we're going to do a card pull. Our card today is the... ooh, champagne. All right, champagne from the Witch Daily Oracle, one of my favorite cards. Champagne is about luxury, self-care, and glamour. It was contributed by Michael Herkus, actually author of our book, The Glam Witch, today. Timing is instant but fleeting. Yes or no, it's a yes. Now is the time to demand your alone time. Don't feel shame in refreshing and rejuvenating yourself. What boundaries do you need to set for your own sanity? Indulge in what makes you happy. Love reading. Now is the time for a luxurious date night, whether with your partner or solo. Career reading. Is your work-life balance in order? Health reading. Don't be overly gluttonous. This can damage your health. Are you taking adequate care of your mental health? All right, witches. So we are wrapping up this episode of the Witch Daily Show. I want to give a shout out to listener Jesse East. Jesse, you rule-breaking, pretty Loch Ness monster. I also want to give a shout out to listener Nicole Lilly. Nicole, you insidious, scholarly vampire slayer. And finally, Kane Sequoia. Kane, you graceful, fancy witch. Thank you three so much for being Patreon supporters. I really, really appreciate it. We do have some news today. Tomorrow, we are having our first ever coven chat on Patreon. We're going to hop onto Zoom together at 8 p.m. Central /9 p.m. Eastern to talk, share, bond. So this is for our saucy spellcaster tier and up. So I think, you know, you would know what your tier is. For our saucy spellcasters, for those listeners, I'll create a post with a link about 15 minutes before we go live on Patreon. So you should get an alert or at least, you know, check it maybe 15 minutes before 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central. If you are curious about our Patreon goodies, check out a link to our Patreon on witchpod.com or our podcast episode description. We have some really fun stuff coming up, including coven chats, live shows. I'm working on a trip, but I'm still working out the details. It will really depend on how many people want to go, I guess. So yeah, that's all we've got. Don't forget any books, texts, headlines, and sources we've referenced. They can be found in the podcast episode description or witchpod.com. I'm sorry if I sound a little funky. I've been spray painting stuff in this room and I think I need to like air it out. So we will talk again tomorrow.
Witches, we hope you have a wonderful day, full of joy and gentleness and confidence. Links for this week's episodes, our website, Patreon, along with a free daily card pull can be found at witchpod.com. One stop for everything we talk about. Now, take one more deep breath and have a great day.